Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for January 21st, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy markets with Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. In agricultural news, Ag Rural says Brazil's 2013-14 soybean crop is getting smaller. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason reveals the newest member in the Illinois Specialty Growers de facto Hall of Fame. And Don Day will have agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's see how futures settled on this Tuesday afternoon. Hard red winter May wheat, 619 down 2. July, 614 down 3.5. Soft May wheat, 569 down 1.5. July, 575.5 down 1.5. March corn, 425 down, and it was actually up 1. It reversed trend. It was down for most of the day before finishing higher. July, 438.5 unchanged. December, 447 down 2. March soybeans, 1280.5 down 36. July, 1250.5 down 31.5, and November, 1109 down 16. March soybean meal, 416.50 down $18. March soybean oil, 38.10 up 36 cents. February live cattle, 141.45 up 110. January feeder cattle, 169.57.5 down 42.5, and February lean hogs, 85.90, down 27.5. And those are Tuesday afternoon's settlements from the CME Group out of Chicago.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says rain will fall from northern and central Buenos Aires into southern Santa Fe and Estorillos, Argentina, today and Wednesday. Some additional rain is expected from south to north in Argentina late Wednesday into Friday, bringing additional relief to weeks of dryness. Northern Argentina will continue hot and dry through Wednesday, and relief expected Thursday into Friday. Temperatures in southern Argentina will trend cooler today and be more seasonable the remainder of the week. Portions of northeastern Brazil may still need some beneficial rainfall after this week's scattered showers and thunderstorms. Meanwhile, precipitation in the U.S. this week will be restricted, with snow falling periodically across the northern and eastern Midwest. Drought conditions in the western U.S. remain, and no relief is expected this week.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
quick programming announcement. Weather permitting, tomorrow we will be doing some work on our AM West tower. That will mean that we will have to turn down the wattage we broadcast with. And it means for many of you who listen to this program, you won't be able to hear us tomorrow afternoon. So if you tune us in and we're not there, that is the reason we're on the West Tower working. And remember, you can always pick us up after the show on the website at WILLAG.org. Joining us now to talk about the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is over in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Well, the December corn contract, Wayne, was a little engine that could today.
You know, basically, as we look here, the corn done a lot of chugging up the hill compared to look at the beans. You know, as we looked at the beans, they were in retreat amongst a lot of technical selling. The rains that they're getting and being forecast more, as you just read from Drew Lerner's forecast in Argentina, you know, we took them below their 40-day and 100-day moving averages to their lowest levels we've seen in a week. You know, there's the January low of 1262.5 sitting as the next target for the bears down there. So it does look, you know, it was sort of a bad day in the bean market.
I would think that given the bean action today, it wouldn't be too far of a stretch to say the January high is in.
I would say that that is probably so, as we tail down in the month and the way that we're acting here like that. And also, you know, talk of a couple loads of beans being shifted from U.S. Shipments to Brazilian as some of the loading spots open up for down there. Still some very aggressive shipments this last week of corn and beans out of the U.S., and China still seems to be very interested in buying beans at this point in time. It's just at what point in time will we start to see things switch, and we did see a little bit of that today. And, of course, as we looked at the spreads, the November beans only down 16, you know, where the March were down 36. So there's 20-cent narrowing of that old crop, new crop spread.
And if you look at a few other technicals on your March composite daily chart, you draw a trend line through the July 13 and October 13 lows, you end up pretty much where we settled today. And also that's a 23% Fibonacci retracement off of the highs that we set in December. So the question is this low enough, or do traders, which like to work in days of three, it often happens, have a little bit more up their sleeve to the downside?
Well, you know, I mean, this was a pretty big sell-off here today. We're not really anticipating or feeling like we should chase this one for right here, that hopefully a few things can happen to bring us back. But definitely a weak close technically, especially in the beans. You know, the corn seemed to hold its own. Now, we did close below 450, of course, but we did that on Friday also. So, you know, like I say, it's looking good. And the wheat also hanging in there, only down 1¼ cents, with beans down 36. So, you know, it wasn't an all bad day as far as all the grains went, but we sure took some lumps in the bean market.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that they were unwinding or winding any spreads between the different complexes today.
No, not at all. I don't think so. I think the spread unwinding was from old crop to new crop.
Yeah.
On taking profits on that. And I think that very much was happening.
So I suppose if you needed any kind of a fundamental reason, it would be the possibility and whispers of cancellations. But beyond that, I can't really think of too much that, fundamentally speaking, it would be out there in the marketplace that we know of that would make a move of, oh, what, some 30 cents.
There's nothing out there that's really telling us that today. I mean, basically along the way, you know, like I say, we're continuing to see pretty good strength. We're continuing to see the crushers out there, and the Gulf basis levels are still very, very strong for this time of year.
Now, I do want to spend a little bit of time with you with the wheat market. You and I don't talk wheat very much in the morning. It has been beat the heck up. And there are a lot of people that feel as though that the wheat market must find a low for the corn market to hold in there at 406 or better. If the wheat market continues to drift lower and lower, 406 eventually will give way. So, number one, is there any truth to that premise in your mindset? And if so, what might hold the wheat market in?
Well, yes, there is. I mean, if wheat gets down to the area where it becomes a feed grain instead of a food grain, basically it's hard to hold the corn together, Dave. So, yes, you're 110% right on that. We are also, you know, we thought we were going to be the cheapest grocery store in town to buy wheat at, and then India popped in and undercut us on some of this. There's a lot of other wheat in the world. The other thing going on right now, let's face it, we've seen, you know, that Arctic blast. Last week, we're talking about some very cold temperatures here again. Not a lot of snow cover in some areas, and some definite winter kill factors coming in some of the areas as far as that goes. So, but I mean, as we look at it here right now, we have been pretty close to being very competitive worldwide. And let's stop and think: Argentina doesn't have enough wheat. Brazil's wanting to import wheat, and they're just waiting for their government to say, hey, we're going to take out the North American 10% import tax on wheat, so they could, and they would be customers here very soon.
I'm going to turn our attention to live cattle. Last week, tremendous discount to cash. Futures rallied just practically straight up. There was some talk that, well, maybe it's high enough for now, but not the case with the $1.17.5 move again today.
You know, the cattle are very, we've got good demand, we've got good exports, we've got limited amount of supply, and, you know, it's time that the poor livestock guy is making some money, and he's worked hard for it. And, you know, we do see that they probably aren't going to go a lot higher than this right now, but, boy, there's some good profits and well-earned by the livestock division out there now.
Thank you much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, Agroal says that dry weather in a number of Brazil's soybean-producing regions has prompted it to lower its 2013-14 crop forecast to 88.6 million metric tons of soybeans from the 89.5 million metric tons predicted in December. The greatest damage from a dry spell in December and part of January was seen in Mato Grosso do Sul and Goiás. As a result, it cut forecast average yields in Mato Grosso do Sul by 7% to 43 bushels per acre, and in Goiás by 4% to 45 bushels to the acre. U.S. Senator David Vitner, a Republican from Louisiana, has introduced a bill that would require individuals receiving benefits under USDA's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program to show a valid photo ID when purchasing items with SNAP funding. Vitner said that his proposal would prevent future fraud. Anyone caught attempting to illegally use another recipient's EBT card would be banned from the program. The program could, though, have a side benefit, perhaps making it easier for SNAP recipients to vote in states that have decided to require voters to possess a valid government-issued photo ID. The International Monetary Fund is slightly more optimistic about the global and U.S. economies this year than it was just 3 months ago. In an updated outlook, IMF forecasts that the world economy will grow 3.7% in 2014 and that the U.S. economy will grow 2.8%. The global forecast is 1/10 of a percentage point higher, and the U.S. forecast is 0.2% higher than in IMF's October forecast. The IMF says the global economy picked up in the second half of 2013, and it expects that momentum to carry over into 2014. China's economic growth decelerated in the final quarter of 2013. The world's second largest economy grew by 7.7% over a year earlier, down from the previous quarter's 7.8%. Growth for the full year was 7.7%, tying 2012 for the weakest annual performance since 1999. China's central bank says it is injecting additional money into its financial system to reduce fears of a credit squeeze. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The specialty crop growers of Illinois have named a new member to their de facto Hall of Fame. Todd Gleason has more on the Huntley, Illinois native.
The 2013 Illinois Vegetable Crop Grower of the Year started his business at age 16. Tom Hallett was not a farm boy, and he rented a couple of acres more than 50 years ago. His love of fruits and vegetables, though, started as a 4-H project at age 10.
When I was 10 years old, I used to go to the woods and pick wild strawberries and take them up to my house and send my friends and neighbors a little postcard and say, I have strawberries for sale. And I loved flowers in my mom's flower garden also. And I had a vegetable garden at home too, even prior to being 10 years old. So I loved growing plants.
At age 16, Tom Hallett rented a couple of acres, opened a roadside vegetable stand on U.S. Route 20, just north and west of Chicago near Bartlett, and began selling vegetables.
And I still operate that farm stand today, 52 years later.
Years ago, it was called Tom's Vegetables. Today, it goes by Tom's Market. It's been the site of some historical events in our nation's history.
Yes, it has. The most impressive one that comes to my mind as far as a historic event and how it relates to associations, our Illinois Vegetable Growers Association, was the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1976 that President Reagan signed. And that was 36 years ago, and this is 36 years later, and we still have absolutely nothing new. Anyway, through our association, we became good friends with A.D. Moyer. He was in the federal building in downtown Chicago. He was the Midwest District Director of the INS, Immigration Naturalization Service. And through many meetings with him, going downtown with our old-time members, we became first name basis. And then President Reagan signed the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1976 and to legalize illegal aliens. And the first site for this amnesty program chosen was my farm in the summer of 1976. It was very historic and a tearjerker because this was the first time that illegals came voluntarily face to face with the head of the INS. It was a momentous occasion.
An historical occasion and the first site in Illinois where farm workers in the nation illegally were granted amnesty. It took place at Tom Hallett's farm shop. It is just one of many reasons the specialty crop growers of Illinois have honored Tom Hallett as the Vegetable Crop Grower of the Year, their Hall of Fame. You can visit Tom's Farm Market during the growing season in Huntley or Bartlett, Illinois, for fresh fruits and vegetables, breads and jams and sauces, and even bedding plants. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the energy markets is Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon.
The soybeans didn't hold up very well today, but if I'm looking here at the energies, there is just about nothing but green on the screen except for the February ethanol contract.
Well, you also have the low sulfur diesel, which is the old heating oil contract, which is actually a little bit under pressure, but that's coming from the cracks, I think. But the gasoline and crude oil are pretty strong. The products are kind of lagging the crude oil today, meaning the cracks are actually a little weaker.
I do think that there is still money to be made in ethanol.
Well, they're still seeing a pretty good margin, around 48 cents. I think there is certainly some price pressures coming in from the natural gas, which has seen a sharp increase in price. But with the corn crop as plentiful as it looks, and next year's crop also going to be looking pretty good, certainly there is some room for the ethanol guys to make some money.
What do you think about the crude oil market? Where does it go from here?
Well, I've held to a pretty longer-term bearish bias in terms of this market, giving the market some room when it gets oversold. Looking at 96.5, maybe on the upside as a objective for this rally, and probably would be more inclined to be selling the market there, maybe buying some puts in terms of the March or April crude oil contract on WTI. We do have some things going on that are somewhat supportive in terms of the Trans-Canada pipeline going to be is opening pretty much today in terms of moving oil out of Cushing down to the Gulf Coast, which is going to help the market. But I think that will be counterbalanced by what still looks to be a plentiful situation in terms of non-OPEC output, and also certainly the Iranian issues are actually lessening some of the geopolitical premiums that we had maintained in these markets. So next, I think 2014 or this year is going to be a tough year for OPEC. It's going to put pressure on them in terms of market share, and probably will lead to a downside bias in this market, maybe into the mid-80 area. And I really don't rule out eventually seeing maybe $78, $80 on crude if the demand does not come on as people expect.
I got about a minute left. I want to spend a little bit of time with the diesel market. Usually there's a window for buying diesel right around in here, between here, thanks, and Valentine's Day or so, usually a pretty good advantageous to buy. Is it going to be that way this year, too?
Well, if the crude actually comes apart, I think the diesel will be dragged down with it. But at this juncture, I guess I'd be somewhat inclined to be a buyer, but maybe look at selling the crude against it so you're playing the margins.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve.
And you have a great day.
You too. That's Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services, and he is in Chicago, Illinois. A quick programming reminder that tomorrow, weather permitting, we will be working on our AM West tower, and that means we have to turn down the power. Means that most of you will not be able to hear the closing market report tomorrow afternoon. But remember, you can always catch the show on our website at WILLAG.org. It's right there on the main page, as is all of our audio each and every day. I'll be back in just 2 minutes with a look at agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's National Granola Bar Day, and it's also International Hot and Spicy Food Day. It was John Harvey Kellogg who coined the word granola for a whole grain and nut mixture, but he never marketed the product. It was a rival, Charles Post, who once was a patient at Kellogg's Battle Creek Sanitarium, that would eventually market his own granola mix. He called it grape nuts. On this day in agricultural history in 1743, John Fitch was born. An American pioneer of steamboat transportation, he produced some of the nation's first serviceable steamboats. His first was an odd-looking machine. It was driven by a rack of American Indian canoe paddles, and the ship traveled at 6 to 8 miles an hour. In 1930, H.L. Callender died, an English physicist. He spent his life studying the thermodynamic properties of steam, but it was his son Guy who discovered the linkage between climate change and increases in carbon dioxide resulting from the burning of carbon fuels, part of the greenhouse effect. And in 1912, Conrad Bloch was born. He discovered that high levels of cholesterol in the bloodstream cause fatty deposits on the inner walls of arteries, which may lead to constricted blood flow and increase the chances of blood clotting and heart attack. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with our look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Boy, I am sick of winter, and it just keeps on coming, doesn't it?
It does, and there's more to come. I tell you, for at least here another week to 10 days, everybody from the Mississippi East is going to continue with colder than normal temperatures, more Arctic intrusions, more opportunities for ice and snow. I do think that February is going to moderate a little bit, but we may trade severe cold to maybe increased frequency of storminess across the United States. So for those of you tired of winter, I don't have much good news for you because we're only halfway done with it.
And it really has impacted livestock over on the western side of the Corn Belt, hasn't it?
Oh, it really has, in terms of not being able to put on weight, going through feed supplies rather rapidly. This has been a tough year for beef producers, especially in those areas you mentioned. And then, you know, when you get a pattern like this, you do get these extremes where you have one extreme, you're going to have the opposite, and that's in the far west, where the very dry conditions in the west coast areas, California and the desert southwest. And, you know, one thing we'll be concerned about is the western plains. We've got a lot of bare ground and dry conditions in Kansas, western Nebraska, and the panhandle areas, and we'll be concerned about cold moving into those areas with little or no snow cover.
Let's turn our attention to South America. When we left last weekend before the long weekend, the advertised weather in Argentina was going to be good, solid showers over the driest of areas, some which may be very beneficial to relieve stress from moisture reductions. And while it's rained some, I don't think we got all that it's been advertised to be.
No, in fact, there were more losers than winners when it came to rain here in the past week in Argentina. Now, we have seen on the soil moisture profile change, there has been some improvements, but there are improvements that don't cover a large geographic area and miss some areas. Now, the trend is still better for Argentina in terms of what they may be able to see coming our way here in the next week, which are some more opportunities for showers, but there'll still be some dry areas left over.
Northeastern Brazil could use some rain, too.
They could, and that's an area that probably is going to struggle a little bit here in the next week.
What other areas are you keeping close watch on globally?
Well, if we were to stay in the southern hemisphere, it's been very warm and dry in Australia, but the trend there is cooler and a little bit more wet.
Anything else before we let you go?
Keep the snow shovel handy and the mittens handy.
Oh, thanks a lot, Dan. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Say, have you had a chance to look at this website yet, WILLAG.org? All of our audio analysis is up there, as well as a link to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter, WILLAG.org. Click on the subscribe link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.